This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, imemc.org, for September 15th through to September 21st, 2007. The Israeli government declared the Gaza Strip an enemy entity while the army killed 8 Palestinians this week. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. On Friday at midday, the residents of Al-Walaja village to the north of the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem, joined by international and Israeli supporters, marched against the building of the illegal Israeli wall on village land. Shortly after, Friday prayers were held on the construction site. By the main road leading into the village, the protesters marched along the hillside to reach a road which used to connect Al-Walaja to Bethlehem. The road was closed by the army 2 years ago when the building of the wall began. Villagers, internationals and Israelis, using shovels and bare hands, managed to remove the roadblock and reopen the road. Becca, who joined the villagers of Al-Walaja, told IMEMC.
Oh, it was an amazing activity of Palestinians and internationals and also Israeli activists opening the roadblock that the Israeli army has set up to try to prevent freedom of movement of the Palestinians. So just with their bare hands and also with shovels and whatever they could find to move to this huge roadblock. It was great.
Israeli soldiers were present in the area, but they kept their distance and did not interfere with the action. They then left the scene, leaving the village to celebrate the day's achievements. Khalid Al-Azza, the head of the committee against the construction of the wall and settlements in the Bethlehem region, said that today's action is part of the continuing popular resistance and points the way for generations to come. Also on Friday, shortly after midday prayers, the villagers of Belin in the central West Bank city of Ramallah held their weekly protest against the construction of the illegal Israeli wall on village land. The protesters marched to the site of the wall demanding its immediate removal. 2 weeks ago, the Israeli High Court ruled that the route be changed. Today, the villagers demanded that the ruling be made reality. The Israeli army blockaded the road leading to the construction site, and as the marchers reached the obstruction, troops showered the unarmed civilians with tear gas, sound bombs and steel-coated rubber bullets. 4 villagers were injured. A local farmer was kidnapped by the Israeli army during the protest. After several hours, the protest came to an end with the local organisers promising to return next week. In political news this week, the Israeli government declared the Gaza Strip an enemy entity, adding it would consider cutting the supply of fuel and electricity to the region. IMEMC's John Smith has more.
The Israeli cabinet on Wednesday declared the Gaza Strip as an enemy entity and added that the administration would consider gradually starving the coastal region of electricity and fuel supplies. Israeli media sources claim that the move comes as a direct response to the firing of homemade shells from the Gaza Strip at nearby Israeli targets. Israel's declaration of the Gaza Strip as a hostile entity has no precedence in international or Israeli law. The term has never been used before, is not recognised by international legal bodies, and as such has no legislative or legal basis. While the term is currently being used to justify a possible future cut in electricity and fuel supplies, many legal experts have argued that, given the Gaza Strip's overwhelming dependence on Israeli imports and foreign aid, such a withdrawal of these necessities would represent both a violation of international law and an act of collective punishment. Roy Dickinson, the head of operations at the European Commission, told IMEMC that any implementation of the Israeli declaration would lead to a humanitarian disaster.
Israel has given undertakings to us, the European Commission. Our Commissioner for Humanitarian Affairs was here. They would not allow a humanitarian emergency to develop in Gaza. We wonder about the humanitarian effects of the cutting off of electricity and of water. I would say that as my colleague who is in charge of humanitarian affairs in the European Commission reported last night to some members of the European Parliament who are visiting, we are very, very close to a humanitarian emergency.
In a similar vein, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon on Wednesday urged Israel to reconsider its decision. Despite these pleas, US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice on Wednesday expressed her support for the Israeli move and for any set of measures which would see the flow of fuel and electricity to the coastal region being cut, despite such measures being deemed illegal by international law. Rice, who is currently visiting the occupied Palestinian territories in Israel to shore up support for the upcoming Middle East Peace Conference, stated that she considered Hamas hostile to both Israel and the US, but indicated that Palestinian civilians in the region would not be abandoned. The means by which Ms. Rice intends to avoid civilian hardship while supporting an illegal restriction of essential supplies remain to be seen. Elsewhere, Rice declared Thursday that the upcoming Middle East Peace Conference must be substantive and based on a draft document to be agreed before the outset of the summit. scheduled for November. Speaking to the press after a meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, Rice called on all participants in the peace process to redouble their efforts in the search for a common negotiating platform from which the basis for a future Palestinian state can be derived. Michael Warchowski, an Israeli political analyst, said that the upcoming peace conference should be considered as a war conference rather than one concerned with making peace.
The real goal of this so-called conference is a war meeting, in fact, to coordinate positions and activities against the Hamas government and in general the Islamic organization in the Middle East, and cannot do anything concerning the solution to the Palestinian question where there is no possible agreement between Israel and the demands of the Palestinian national movement.
Despite an apparent air of cynicism surrounding the upcoming negotiations, President Abbas on Thursday stated his belief that the time was ripe for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state and reiterated his commitment to ensuring that East Jerusalem would be the capital of the state. Despite these seemingly positive comments regarding the potential of the summit to produce substantial political results, various media sources had earlier in the week reported that President Abbas had threatened to withdraw from the negotiations over a perceived lack of willingness on the part of the Israeli administration to enter into meaningful talks over fundamental issues, and with the apparent reluctance of several Arab countries to send representatives to the negotiations. Of those Arab countries not expected to attend are Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, all of which have expressed grave misgivings over the vague and undefined nature of the forthcoming talks. Seemingly stung by Israeli and Arab consternation over the conference, officials close to President Abbas on Sunday threatened to boycott the event should the Israeli administration not agree to reach a settlement there. The comments came several hours after Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert declared that there would be no final status settlement at the summit, but that the two sides would instead work on an agreement of principles. In related news, Israeli Vice Premier Chaim Ramon this week surprised many by apparently declaring that the Israeli government would be willing to cede control over Palestinian areas of Jerusalem to the Palestinian Authority. The declaration angered many right-wing Israeli political figures, several of whom threatened to withdraw from the government if such a deal was to be pursued. The Hamas movement will consider negotiations with Israel if the Israeli administration agrees to end attacks and makes a number of humanitarian gestures in the Gaza Strip, Israeli media sources reported on Monday. Quoting a number of various unnamed officials, Israeli media reported that Hamas had brokered a deal with the Palestinian resistance factions to halt the fire of homemade shells into Israeli territory and limit their operations to those against invading Israeli soldiers. Following the asserted agreement, Hamas officials indicated that the movement was willing to extend the deal indefinitely should their demands be met. Several Gaza-based Fatah leaders appointed to re-establish the party in the Strip have resigned, the Fatah party announced on Friday. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas had appointed the 10-man committee to reorganize the Fatah movement in the coastal region in the wake of Hamas's rise to power. Of the 10, 8 submitted their resignations earlier in the week, apparently basing the decision on the apparent failure of the West Bank-based Fatah government to pay the salaries of approximately 10,000 members of security forces loyal to Fatah. 8 to President Abbas have refused to comment on the issue. For IMEMC.org, this is John Smith.
This week, the Israeli army conducted at least 22 military incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those invasions, Israeli troops killed 4 Palestinians and kidnapped at least 78 others. IMEMC's Colin Bell has more.
The Israeli army on Friday declared an end to its military operation in the Ain Bet al-Mar refugee camp in Nablus after 3 consecutive days of attack. During the operation, the army killed 2 Palestinian civilians, among them a disabled man, and abducted 49 others. One Israeli soldier was also killed in clashes with local resistance fighters. During the operation, which started on Tuesday, the Israeli army prevented ambulances from entering the area, leading to the death of one youth. Dr. Hassan Hamdan, the director of the Palestinian Health Relief Services in the city of Nablus, spoke to IMEMC.
Around 2:30 a.m., a large Israeli force attacked the Ain Bet al-Mar refugee camp, completely surrounding it. Soldiers occupied homes and fired at residents, causing several injuries. Later, Israeli troops did not allow medical teams to reach the injured civilians, which led to the death of one young man. An ambulance driver was also injured by the army gunfire.
Despite the policy being deemed illegal under Israeli and international law, eyewitnesses to the attack reported that its invading troops used civilians as human shields while searching and ransacking homes. Ahmed, a resident of the refugee camp, spoke to IMEMC.
The army surrounded the camp entirely and then invaded people's homes. either demolishing them with bulldozers or breaking in. Soldiers forced local civilians to act as human shields. While families in the camp were not allowed to open their own doors to leave their homes, the army ordered the human shields to do so.
A 16-year-old boy was shot and killed by invading Israeli forces in the central West Bank city of Ramallah in the early hours of Monday morning. The boy, later identified as Mohammed Jabarin, was shot when local stone-throwing youths clashed with invading Israeli soldiers in the city. Both eyewitnesses and medical sources reported the Israeli army prevented ambulances from entering the area and dispensing first aid to the injured teenager. The boy subsequently bled to death. On Sunday morning in the West Bank city of Nablus, the Israeli army shot and killed a Palestinian resistance fighter believed to be a member of the Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas. Medical sources later identified the man as Yusuf Al-Assi, 22, adding that he was assassinated as he stood in front of his home. For IMEMC.org, this is Colin Bell.
The Israeli army continued to attack the Gaza Strip this week, killing four Palestinians and kidnapping at least 29 others. IMEMC's Rami Al-Mughari has more.
Medical sources in the Gaza Strip reported on Thursday that four Palestinians were killed during an Israeli military offensive in the region. Sources in the Hamas movement reported that Imad Rizik Abu Hajir, 35, one of the leaders of the Al-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of Hamas, was shot and killed during clashes with invading Israeli forces east of the Al-Buraj refugee camp. Mohammed Sulaiman Abu Hajir, 22, was also killed in the attack. At least 20 Palestinians were also kidnapped in the invasion. Earlier on Thursday morning, a Palestinian child, later identified as Mohammed Kaid Al-Kafafi, 17, was killed after he was run over by an Israeli military bulldozer. The child was crushed to death as he stood near some trees east of the camp. Several residents were injured during the invasion and at least 20 others were kidnapped, one of whom was shot and injured. The attacks came one day after the Israeli government declared the Gaza Strip an enemy entity and announced that it was considering cutting power and food supplies to the region. On Sunday, Israeli army tanks invaded the southern Gaza city of Rafah. In a separate operation, the Israeli army attacked the northern Gaza town of Beit Lahia, kidnapping a number of local residents. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mughari in Gaza.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. This is Louisa White and Ghassan Bonora.